Hi, ADHDers, and welcome to the KDHD Podcast. I'm your host, Katie, and you're probably here because you've heard, you don't have ADHD, I would have seen the signs. Well, I'm here to help you on this journey of understanding your ADHD and how it impacts your mental health, relationships, careers, and even your body. I've invited some wonderful ADHD professionals and experts to help us learn how to cope with our challenges, but also utilize our strengths. So, here we go. Today's guest is Dr. Carrie Jackson. She is a child psychologist and parent coach here to talk to us about her free guide for parenting children with ADHD and why she created it.
So my name, I am Dr. Carrie. I am a licensed child psychologist. I'm in the San Diego, California area. I have an Instagram where I'm at the.parent.therapist, and I share a lot of like content around parenting kids with ADHD. I also, this is more recent, but something I love doing is I'm also a professor at the University of San Diego, and I teach child therapy to the marriage and family therapy students. I also myself have ADHD, was not diagnosed until later in life, which I know we will talk about, but a little bit about who I am, what I do professionally. In my fun time, I like to hike, cook, and those types of things. So thank you so much for having me, Katie.
Yeah. And thank you for coming on and telling us your story and then also kind of what you're doing to help parents, because I've noticed a lot is that not only when people are diagnosed with ADHD, but also when children are diagnosed with ADHD, there still isn't a lot of information out there on what to do next. So a lot of times they will diagnose the child or the adult and they're like, okay, you congratulations or whatever, you have ADHD, and give you a script and send you out the door, but they're not giving you resources or teaching us how to utilize our strengths or, you know, just spread awareness in general. And so I think there's a lot of room to grow in those areas, especially for parents who might have children who have ADHD and they're like, well, what do I do now? You know? And so I love what you're doing. I love the education that you're spreading and how you're trying to help support these parents when they're going through this. And so I heard that you were late diagnosed. So would you feel comfortable telling us that story? Yeah. or how you were diagnosed or maybe what led you to that point? I would love to hear it.
I'm more than happy to share it. So I'll start off actually like when I was younger, because I feel like now looking back, there are like so many signs from when I was younger that were just missed. So as a kid, I was like very strong-willed. Like my mom always says my favorite word was no when I was little, and I had to do things my way. So like, I think as a kid for my parents, I was pretty difficult. Like I would do a lot of things that were like impulsive. For example, like even as a kid, I broke my finger because I would hang off of these really high monkey bars at school and just drop down, like just for fun, dropping down, not even to like do anything, but just to see what happens. And so I broke my finger that way. I wouldn't get into a lot of trouble at school because I was always very motivated at school. Like I felt like I was like, I really cared a lot about school as a kid, and it was important to my parents. I was also like doing very well in classes, so I don't think I ever was getting into trouble. And like, as you know, with like girls with ADHD, like you're often missed when you're younger. And so I totally feel like that was the case with me. Fast forward into like high school, college. Classes got harder, and like that was when I started to notice like I have to actually study for things, and it's really difficult for me to sit through these classes. It's super hard for me to pay attention. I still did not even have the thought to get diagnosed or like looked into what was going on in that moment, though. It was actually in graduate school. So I have my PhD in psychology for those of you listening, and I remember having 3-hour classes for some of the time, and it was physically painful to sit in those classes. Like, struggled so much with that, and it actually like came up in relationships I was in, like romantic relationships with my boyfriend, where like we would get into arguments over me not being able to sit through a movie, for example. And then in school, this is actually like really difficult. I got a lot of negative feedback actually, which was like one of the first times I got negative feedback, but I was told like to look like I'm paying attention because it's very clear in class that I am not paying attention and that I need to work on my facial cues. So that was honestly like heartbreaking for me to hear, being in grad school and to get that type of feedback. And so I was like, okay, let me look into this some more. And so I actually reached out to a psychiatrist that specialized in ADHD, did an interview with them and evaluation, and they said, yep, you know, it does seem like you do have ADHD. It's been going on for a while. Like, you are like high functioning, which I hate that term, but it's like you were able to like cope through a lot of things. It took me forever to get to that point though. And like, even as a mental health professional, it's interesting because I feel like I was worried about the stigma around it and being like, I'm a mental health provider. Like, how could I have missed this? So, and here we are today. Now I'm helping parents of kids with ADHD, but that's how my diagnosis happened. So yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool that you took that and you're like, okay, well, there's obviously this huge need. If I was going through school and didn't know what I was struggling with as a, you know, a medical provider, you know, and so there are like, you saw that need for those resources and like, okay, well, if no one else is going to create it, then I'm going to create it. So how old were you actually when you got diagnosed?
Oh goodness. It was late 20s. So I am 30 years old now. It was definitely late 20s, like maybe 27, I will say. And I did start medication, but have been on and off medication. I'm going to go back on it. I don't know. I've had some bad side effects with it, but it has helped me a lot, I have noticed. Yeah, but I mean, it breaks my heart now. Like, I do evaluations for kids with ADHD, and I feel like for the girls that I will do the evaluations with, it's like, you can see, like, I feel like you can just see that distractibility and how that can be missed. And so like, if you're a parent of a girl who like, you see that she's having these challenges with distractibility, it's like, you can get support for her. And it's not just something that boys go through. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's something that, you know, we are often missed because like you said, you weren't causing a lot of disruptions in class either. And I think that's something that I can definitely share is that I wasn't creating like challenges or having these huge behaviors in class where I was like getting sent out of class. I struggled to focus. And like, I remember as a kid, like looking up at the ceiling tiles and counting them, or like looking out the window, or, you know, just like passing time in my own mind, or just like staring at the clock and watching it like tick. And similar to you, like I was a wild child, but like, I was called a tomboy because I climbed trees and I played outside and I hung upside down on the monkey bars. And I was always like super active, but it's funny how I was like really hyper in that way. But in class, I struggled more with the inattentive side and with just like focusing, or, you know, unless it was something I was really interested in. And then I was like, you know, full 100% super stoked, you know, about everything. But then if it was a class I struggled in, like reading or math, you know, I was just on another planet because it was so much more pleasant for me to go off and like have this like imagination adventure versus sitting in a class where I was already probably so behind and struggling and then didn't feel confident enough to ask for help, you know, and say like, and I remember like, I always struggled really like doing my homework too, or like I would do my homework or I wouldn't turn it in and stuff. And so all those signs similar to you were definitely there. And I think also similar to you is kind of like in college is like when I really struggled is because I was taking on so much and I was having much longer classes and I was having to retain so much more information that it really was like, it was mind-boggling to me that other people weren't struggling the same way I was. And I kept going to my school counselors and telling them like how overwhelmed I was or how I wasn't able to like retain as much information. And the school counselor at the time was just basically like, well, you need to take less classes, or you know, they didn't really give me an answer. And the same thing was similar to when I was in therapy and at the doctor's offices. When I was officially diagnosed, I didn't get any resources. I think when I was diagnosed though, it was like the golden ticket. I ran out the building and felt like this relief of like someone listened to me and they believed me. And I felt so validated that maybe I didn't ask enough questions, but I still look back and think how many people got diagnosed and they're just like sitting there like, well, what do I do now? And we were talking about that with parents, and I think parents feel the same way too, is there isn't enough education out there or information at all about ADHD, especially ADHD in women, and even more so ADHD in kids, and how to help, you know, support them through it. Because, you know, people always say like, oh, there's no books on parenting, or there's no resources. And really there are, and people are trying to find answers, but then you add ADHD into that and it's a whole nother can of worms. And so I loved being able to go to your website and look at the guide and kind of walk through it and go like, wow, this was actually informational and like helpful to me as an adult to learn about this kind of stuff. And so I thought it was really interesting. And I'm not a parent personally, but I did teach preschool for 8 years. And so I worked with a lot of kids who had maybe undiagnosed ADHD. And at the time, I think I accommodated them the same way I accommodated myself without knowing either of us had ADHD. And so now I can kind of look back on it and looking at your guide and going, oh, okay, like this makes sense why I did this and did this, because I was kind of soothing myself in a way and making my ADHD work for me without knowing I even had it. And so I would love to have you kind of walk us through that. When you get I know you do coaching and help with therapy. When a parent comes to you with this thing, or when a parent comes to you and they say, I have a child who's diagnosed with ADHD. What do I do now? And I kind of just, I would love for you to just walk me through that process and kind of hear how you support those parents.
Yeah. So you are so right, where it's like so many parents, they just don't get resources for parenting. And I think that that's like one of the most frustrating things. So like if you're a parent and you like went to your pediatrician, they might've just said like, okay, like, yep, they have ADHD. It might've just sent you along your way. And so like, for me, I was like, okay, there's that. And then there's also where there's like millions of books online, millions of things that you can look at, but it's so much that it's overwhelming. So I feel like for parents, it's like you're given nothing and you're given too much at the same time. So for me, I know very well like how to help parents of kids with ADHD. And I really wanted to be like, okay, let me create some resources for these families where it can like take the information that I know to be really helpful, give them some free information too, and like only the most important things. Like, don't want to overwhelm parents who are already busy. If a parent also has ADHD, it's like impossible to sit through that information, read a book. I mean, like, it's very difficult. So I was like, okay, start off. I mean, I started an Instagram basically during the pandemic when I was bored. So I was like, okay, there are all these people on social media. Let me add on some of like my thoughts about this too. And so started creating this guide that was like, if you are a parent new to ADHD, or even if you just think your child does have ADHD, first of all, this is what it looks like. Which even that, I feel like a lot of providers don't talk about. Like, so many parents, they'll be like, I had no idea there are 3 presentations of ADHD. Like, to me, that's a very basic thing, but so many providers don't tell parents that, so parents would have no idea. So it like goes through that. And then I also talk about like, what are the most effective resources for parents? And again, like that one is so important to me, because like, we do know like the most effective treatments for kids with ADHD is a combination of behavioral therapy, working with the parents on specialized skills, and medication, as well as like some support at school. So like going through those options with parents and how they can get those, that support in each of those areas. Because being a parent of a child with ADHD is also like time consuming and expensive. And like, I want parents to know, like, yes, there are a ton of services out there, but these are the services that we know can support your kids the most and what I would recommend you look for. And then I also include like some of those parenting tips as well, so that parents can have some like quick relief, you know, and quick strategies to help. Because like, it really is like, for me, it's like helping parents who won't have access to these resources in other ways and finding ways to get them those resources through my guide. And then, like you said, I have other resources as well, but the free guide is definitely where I like to like start parents off with for support.
Mm-hmm. How I was wondering when you were talking about how maybe there's a possibility that, you know, a lot of the parents are also undiagnosed ADHD. Has there been a point in your career where you've had to kind of, like, when a parent comes to you and they say, I have a child with ADHD and I don't know where this came from. I don't know anything about it. And like, they're just, you know, I can just imagine the conversation my mom would have had where she would have been like, oh, she's just ditzy or distracted, or she's just like loves life and has a strong imagination just like me or whatever. And you're like, you're like, well.
Oh my goodness. It is so funny because like so many parents, when I'm going over like the results, they'll be like scratching their heads and they're like, this sounds like me a little bit. Even so, nobody else in my immediate family has been diagnosed with ADHD, but we strongly think my mom likely does have ADHD. And she follows me on my professional Instagram. And she has said, you know what, Carrie, I look at like all of your posts and sometimes I'm like, well, do I have ADHD? And like my mom, I would think very strongly has inattentive ADHD, like classic signs. And so I think that happens way more often. It's just also with a lot of parents, I think it was very stigmatized like during that era. And so like people, they're now getting diagnosed even later, like women are in particular, like after their pregnancy, because also women, like hormones affect your ADHD symptoms so much. Many women report improvements in their ADHD symptoms during pregnancy. And then afterwards, there's like a significant decline in their ADHD symptoms where then parents, they might think, oh, something is going on. So it's very common. And like, even like a lot of the parents, I'll refer them for their own evaluation if they ask me. To help them and support them, because it's so hard to parent when you have ADHD too. I'm not a parent myself, but it's hard enough for me to keep myself straight sometimes. So yeah,
it's funny, you kind of like slide that evaluation across the table. You're like, sorry yes. about like, hate to, you know, but there isn't enough information. And I think like a lot of adults, we've made it this far. And so it is hard for us to be like, how can I not know? Like and that's why I make my videos. Like I would have seen the signs. It's like, I got diagnosed at 29. I didn't see the signs because it just wasn't known about women with ADHD or, you know, honestly, a lot about the inattentive side. And so it's kind of why I make those videos, to kind of validate myself in a way, to show people like, these are some signs I've showed my entire life. And, you know, they've become kind of who I am, that people just know me as that. And so now I'm looking back and like, no, you know, the signs are always there. And it really doesn't matter what parent I got it from, you know, either way, I have ADHD. And so I think that, you know, a lot of women get diagnosed, you know, after they have kids, or even through menopause, I've heard, is that menopause is a huge eye opener for women, is because maybe their ADHD symptoms get worse and they feel like they're just going crazy, and they go to a doctor and explain their symptoms. And then their doctor's like, well, how long have you been experiencing this? And they might say, well, my whole life, but it's gotten so much worse through menopause. And then it's like, oh, there we go. You know? And so I get messages all the time from women in their 50s, 60s, you know, who are getting diagnosed because of menopause, or just because that light bulb came on, or maybe they saw one of my videos. And so I love that you're creating this awareness, but then also helping support those parents, whether they have ADHD or not. I mean, I think that if you have ADHD, being a parent with a child of ADHD, I think could in a way be really helpful, because you're able to empathize and kind of understand what they're going through. And you've, in a way, like I mentioned earlier, is you kind of have to accommodate yourself and self-soothe yourself. And so those accommodations and those like tricks that we make up to make our lives easier, you probably are already implementing in your child's life, where somebody who doesn't really have a lot of information about ADHD and can't relate to those traits might be like, well, what in the world is this? Because I didn't know that there were three types of ADHD until last year. I just thought that ADHD was just wild boys who couldn't sit still. And that's really what I thought. And I know that's just kind of a stereotype, but it is common. And even those kids, there are those kids who are hyperactive, and those parents still need those supports. And so I was wondering kind of how do you support how do you support parents through those moments? And what are some tips that you might have for parents listening now who are like, I just don't know what to do, because I do have a lot of people with ADHD who follow me, but I have almost just as many people who follow me who don't have ADHD because their teenager or their kiddo has ADHD. And so I really just, I would love to pass on those tips to them and kind of maybe those common struggles that they might have. And then some tips along the way, I would love to hear.
Yeah, of course. So one thing also, as you're talking about like your social media and like, I started this to like give parents a lot of these tips that I will absolutely share. But like one of the things that I find that parents like enjoy the most about like my content, and I'm sure honestly about your content, is like you said, how validating it is. And so like, you know, for parents, like you often feel like you are a failure as a parent, like you are not a good parent. Like I've had parents tell me this all the time because like nothing they are doing is helping their kids. And so they want to know that there are other people like them going through similar things, and just knowing that is such a big help to them. So I think like honestly like that as a skill or like a strategy is something very important. Like find your own community of people who are like you, whether it's online, like there are plenty of Facebook groups. I actually have one for parents too. It's for free, just for parents to like kind of connect that way. Finding some people who understand you, because a lot of the times there can be that stigma around like parenting a kid with ADHD where it's like, well, why don't you just control your child better? You know, like, why don't you discipline them? And so I think for parents to know like there are other people out there, like that's super important. Another thing, like a strategy I would say that's super helpful that I share in my guide, and like I share it in different ways during my coaching program too, is just like, for people with ADHD, like they need more positive reinforcement strategies than consequences, and for many reasons. So kids with ADHD are going to receive on average like at least 20,000 more negative messages during their lifetime. You know, like you think about like that impulsive behavior at school, teachers might need to give more correction to them. Parents at home also might need to give them more correction at home. And so like those can lead to some like negative feelings about themselves. So to counteract that, I have parents really focus on praising positive behaviors that they see that their kids are doing to improve their kids' self-esteem. Also, that's the way that kids and people with ADHD learn the best, is through that positive attention rather than that negative attention. Like, if you think about a boss that is giving you a lot of positive feedback when you're doing things, you probably try and like do more for them than the boss that's only criticizing you. And so that's like the idea with parents too. So for kids with ADHD, like parents will often say like, my child won't get third on their homework. And so I'll say, okay, well, here's what you can do. Praise the small steps along the way. So praise them for getting their book bag out. So say something like, thanks for getting your book bag out. Thanks for coming to the table. All those small steps are going to get your child like to first build their independence and to help them feel better about themselves for what they're doing. Then you'll be in like less of those arguments that tend to happen with kids with ADHD. Yeah.
And like you mentioned, like self-esteem is such a huge issue for people with ADHD. And I think with the, like the 20,000 comments and all that stuff is like, we've all experienced that. And like, not only are we experiencing stigma and self-esteem, you mentioned parents as well. It's like, and parents probably feel like they can't win, because if they feel like they can't help their children with their behaviors, then they also feel like they can't get medication or give their children medication because of that stigma around medication as well. And so they're kind of put in this weird place where they're like, they feel like they're not doing everything right, but then they also feel like they can't support their own child.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's like, it's a catch 22. Like, and I feel this way about like parents' decision for medication. Like the decision is completely individualized. And I feel like parents, it's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't by someone. And it's very hard. It's a hard decision for a lot of parents to make. And so like, I will walk parents through like kind of their decision-making, give parents all the evidence and research I know. And also like, there are other options for support that I think regardless should be pursued with or without medication. Like behavioral therapy is incredibly helpful. Like kids support at school. There are so many options that I think kids can have. Like, I'm sure you remember that too as a teacher, like how important that is, like where kids spend most of their time at school. One other thing like I feel like is important to mention is like so many parents are always like, But I have so much trouble being consistent because I have ADHD myself, and like, or they'll say routines don't work for my family. I have ADHD. I can't do it. Reward systems don't work for my family. I have ADHD. And like the way you use these things, it doesn't have to be like what you see on Instagram or social media. And like, you don't need to be 100% consistent with anything for it to be effective. I feel that way about like myself as an adult with ADHD and the parents of kids I work with. Like, it's all about finding like consistency that works with your family. Like, for example, like I like to journal throughout the week. And so it's like, I know I'm not going to do it every day. That's a goal though. And so for parents, like that consistency might look like bedtime at 8:30. Maybe they don't make it each night, but they make it most nights out of the week. So like really like being compassionate towards yourself and not so hard on yourself, I think is so important for parents when it's already so hard to be a parent, when you have those negative like views from other people in general too. So yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. It's like, it is always, you know, and I think that like, as an adult with ADHD now, I can look back and go like, wow, you know, my parents didn't really know what to do with me because they just thought I was an active daydreamer, wild child, you know? And so, and especially back then, there wasn't these kind of resources. And so I remember when I was diagnosed with ADHD, I was like, I felt like really guilty, and I felt like kind of like upset because of all these kind of like, I guess like, you know, you mourn the opportunities or you mourn the person you could have been. And I think I did go through that, but at the same time, I think I was so proud that with the resources my parents had and like what they learned to work with me. They didn't try to really change me. They just learned to like kind of roll with me. And I think that's really as important too, is working with your child as an individual and kind of figuring out their own strengths and then embracing their differences or what things really, because we are that like dopamine, we're always looking for something. And so it might be hard because parents probably experience that thing where they're like, well, I put her in piano lessons and soccer and gymnastics and she just won't stick to it. And I think that's really important, is, you know, we don't have to stick to anything. The experience that we get from it, that happiness we get, is what we should be excited about and what we should value, is that happiness that thing brings you in the moment. So I think that we're always like, oh, we got to like be so consistent and do this and that. And it's like, it is so hard to do anything consistently in life. So it's okay to, you know, just do your best. And I think that's kind of what my parents did. Is, and there was this quote that my therapist told me, she said, your parents could have done the best they could to support you and still not giving you the support you needed, but that doesn't make them bad parents. And I think that's something that parents need to hear too, because I think it's really easy for them to fall in those doom loops and feel like, or those, you know, they fall into those loops of shame of like, I'm a bad parent and I'm not doing enough to support my child. And it's like, you know, I have ADHD. I know how hard it is to support myself. You know, if you're doing the best you can and you're doing the best you can to support your child, you know, that's not being a bad parent. Is there anything that you could share about that? That's probably way better. You're a therapist. I just want to hear it from your mouth, like how you would express that, I guess.
I mean, you're so right. Like it breaks my heart, honestly, like hearing parents like say all these things. And it's like, a lot of times, like parents, they're so critical of themselves. And like, I had my group coaching program last night, and there is a parent who is in the program, has like worked to get their kid resources at school, has done speech therapy, other things. And they're like, their behaviors are like really bad at home. Like, I feel like I am a failure as a parent. And it's like, the fact that you are here shows you are not a failure as a parent. Like, if you are a parent listening to this podcast, you are not a failure as a parent. Like, it's really that, like, trying to like externalize from yourself, like my child's behaviors are not necessarily a reflection of my parenting, you know? I like to tell parents, like, you might not be the reason why your child has ADHD. You might not be the problem, but you can be part of the solution and a support for them. Like, you know, look at like all the things that you have done right as a parent and try and figure out like, what is something that I am doing for my child today to have patience with yourself? Like, parents that I also share with parents, like I have ADHD. My mom did not know when I was a child. My mom was also a preschool teacher and is like the most patient person in the world. And I had this post on Instagram, like talking about my diagnosis as a kid and like how I was very difficult as a child. And for me, I felt a lot of guilt also, like as thinking back on my childhood, like, oh my God, like I felt like I was a horrible kid and I put my parents through all of this. My mom, I remember she like texted me and she was like, if only I would have had the resources that I did right that I know now, like I could have been so much more patient with you. Like, and I'm like, you did what you could in the moment. And I think for every parent that I see, they're doing what they can with the resources that they have. And you're learning along the way. Like, you know, nothing is 100% perfect, but you're learning as you go. And that's like the most important thing I think to kids is just that you are their support. Yeah.
Yeah. You're supporting them. You're the cheerleader. You're the coach. It's like, there's a lot. You're all of it. And it's all what goes into it. And it's like, I get a lot of parents reaching out to me, asking me, you know, what they could have done to support their child with ADHD. And it is so individualized. And so I feel bad, like throwing out things, but I often just say, you know, if there's a task at hand, to break it up into multiple, like little tasks. And so they feel that like success from those things. Like you said, like the book bag and like taking stuff out or just getting like everything laid out on the table that you need so that it's there. I think that's really helpful for people with ADHD and little breaks, you know, stuff like that. And so I taught preschool. And so I already do things where I needed stations in my classroom so that I could go from station to station to station and get that like change where it was like a reset in my mind where I could focus on that thing. And then when I was done with that amount of time, I'd move on to the next thing. And I did that a lot with my kids. So they get those like nice transitions, but still get like a variety to keep them engaged. And I think that's just as important, you know, with kids at home. And so,
yes, I love those strategies too. And like, you have a lot of those like innate, like built in ones from like your own personal experience and like teaching as well too. And like parents, like, I feel like it's always a learning process and like ADHD is so individualized. So like the skills that like you might tell parents or what I might tell parents is like, they might work in some ways, or you might find that like another skill works better for you. Like for example, like some kids, they really need visual routines to like get through like their morning routine, their bedtime routine. And for some parents, I have had that be like a huge game changer. For others, they might need other strategies like the breaks during like homework, for example, or at school time, breaking things into smaller chunks. Like it's so hard, I think, like when parents are looking for support, because they're definitely looking for like, what is the one skill? And I'm like, it's not just one, it's really a combination of skills. And so much of it is individualized. And I try and provide as many like skill, like generic skills as I can that I know will be helpful in some way to families. But like, if you are also using some of the strategies that you see online and feel like they're not working, like that's okay too, because it may just be like, it's tough to individualize them based on, again, what you know and what you are seeing. Yeah.
What are some of the most like frequently asked questions? If you could pick like one or two, is there something that you're like, it seems like this is the one I get the most, and if I could, you know, just put it on a billboard and have people drive by, you know, I know patience is a big thing, but I would love to hear what are your frequently asked questions. And
oh my goodness, there's so many top ones that I, one thing I also get is like parents saying like, I just don't know if he has ADHD or like, I don't believe the diagnosis because like he can focus so well on some things, but then like other things it's like they can't focus on at all. So with that, like I like to give parents a lot of education on like what ADHD looks like. And yes, it is called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, but it's not actually a deficit of attention. It's difficulties regulating attention to the correct things in that moment. So like, that's probably why that is happening. Also, if it's like a video game they can pay attention to, think of how stimulating that is, like the dopamine from a game. I mean, most kids could stay there for hours versus like a school assignment like is like the least stimulating things for them. And so they're going to do things to bring their level of stimulation up. So there's definitely like a lot of misconception around like what ADHD is. And like, I mean, this even goes back to like what we're saying about tips for parents, like understanding and educating yourself on what ADHD is one of the best things you can do for your child to be able to understand them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You were talking about having a hard time focusing and not, and like, I think that's so hard for neurotypicals to understand how like the same thing with trying to explain executive dysfunction and like people like labeling their children as like lazy. Yeah. And I think that was one of the hardest things for me is that I was always like really creative and could make anything with my hands. I could learn how to build things, even if I didn't have a plan. And honestly, even if I did have a plan with instructions, it's not like I actually use them. I just look at the pictures and kind of figure it out. And so I'm like, well, how can I be lazy if I can mm-hmm. take pieces of nothing and make it into something or use my imagination to create something, or I can go in my garden for hours and hours and hours, but when it's time to do the dishes or when it's time to like sleep at night or, you know, anything that is just like, it's so funny. I always felt like I was very motivated by food and like outside time. And so that was something. Yeah. So I feel like that would be something that would be really good to hear, because I think parents are often thinking like their kid is choosing to be lazy or their kid is lazy. You know, that's a word that we hear a lot. And so I would love for you to, if you could possibly break that down and explain to us why that might be a misconception among parents.
Yeah, it is a huge misconception. And part of it is because like every kid does have difficulty doing things they don't want to do. You know, I mean, like for most kids, I will say it's easier for them to do a video game or something fun than it is to do something challenging like work or chores or school. And so because of that, I think like a lot of parents, they might be like, but every child has trouble with this. So like what makes mine different? So what makes it different with ADHD? A lot of it is like how significant and severe like it is. So for kids with ADHD, it is going to affect them to the point where it really impacts their school, social, and home life. You might see like their grades suffering, for example, or their relationship suffering compared to like other kids their age. And like a huge part of it really like or those executive functions, like you said. So like giving some education on that, where it's like there, so executive functioning, it's basically like it's a buzzword right now, but it is like a way to understand ADHD as like all of these different functions that your brain is telling it to do. And they're like all the things related to planning, organization, emotional awareness, or even like body awareness too. They're all considered to be a part of executive functioning, and they're like in the frontal part of your brain, which is like the last part to develop. And for people with ADHD, it develops like 30% behind typically developing peers. So for people with ADHD, like you're going to see like age-related differences on things like planning, on things like organization. And so that's going to come across as potentially lazy, where it looks like they might start an assignment but not get through it. The difference is like they know exactly what to do, but they just can't get through it. They can't get through it. And it is not because of a lack of willpower. It's typically because there are these executive functioning difficulties where they don't know how to plan correctly, or even the task initiation is an executive function. So like starting a task is much more difficult for somebody with ADHD, in particular if it's like a very big task. So those things can easily look like laziness. But I think like the more parents can understand about those executive functions, like the better they will be able to understand why their child is like just they have like a different set of like things that they might do that are not lazy, you know? It's really just their brain functioning in a different way. I stop myself even from calling myself lazy, because I will notice I will do that if I'm having a day where it's like I don't want to do work. I'm like, no, I am not lazy. And I encourage like people with like other like mental health concerns to do the same thing, like depression. A lot of like people, adults in particular, they'll say I'm so lazy, when in reality it's like their mental health is making it difficult for them to do what they are trying to do. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I do have to kind of like, you know, dangle the carrot in front of myself a lot, you know? And there's always like, I remember when I was in early childhood education, when I first started school, we learned about how like bribing was such a bad thing. And they're like, don't bribe ever. And like, never give them anything as like a reward at the end. It's like, ma'am, I need to bribe myself to go to the grocery store. Like, going to the grocery store, I'm like, I hate it. And I hate prepping. I hate going. I hate bagging the groceries. But I'm like, ooh, but I'll get myself a little chicken strip from the deli, you know? So I have to do that, you know? I have to know that, like, okay, at the end of this, I'm gonna get a chicken strip. It's all gonna be worth it at the end, and I'll have groceries and I'll feel better. But like you said, that task initiation, the organizing, all those things I really have always struggled with. And then, you know, the bright lights and the loud sounds, and then like I might see someone I know or whatever, you know. And so all of that stuff kind of comes into play. And that's just grocery shopping. It's like there are so many ways that that has impacted my life in other ways. And I think that I would love to hear your opinion on that, because I know that like I said, I mean, that was 10 years ago when I was in early childhood education. It's come a long way. And I can see how with neurotypicals, how bribing and like, you know, dangling the carrot or like giving yourself those rewards or even just like moments of grace could be unencouraged. But I feel like I would love to hear your opinion on how you would support a parent through that, or what you think about, you know, what I just said, I guess.
Okay, that I should have brought this up as one of the common questions I get, because a lot of parents, they will ask me, don't rewards hurt intrinsic motivation or like a child's motivation? So there was some research done years ago that is like where a lot of like the concerns around rewards came from for early childhood education, particularly like teachers or Montessori schools in particular, where they're like, we shouldn't use rewards, they hurt intrinsic motivation. The research study that they are basing that on, it was like college students, they were paid to read books, which was something they already enjoyed doing. And it showed that like the more that they're paid to do something they enjoy, it hurt their intrinsic motivation. Tons and tons of research since then has found that like rewards are very helpful, especially for kids with ADHD. And it's really just like you should reward kids for things that are challenging or that they like maybe don't want to do. For example, you shouldn't reward your kid for playing video games or going to the park, if those are things they enjoy doing. Rewarding your kids for hard things, just like you're rewarding yourself for going to the grocery store, is a great idea. It doesn't hurt intrinsic motivation. It helps build self-esteem, helps get them to do what you're trying to get them to do. As you know from personal experience, and I do too. And also, like I will say, like the idea of what a reward is, it can be something like a toy, but it can also be something very simple, like, okay, if you do your homework, then we can go to the park afterwards. Like rewarding in that way, where it's just once you're done with the hard thing, then we can do the fun thing. Like so rewards that get a really bad rep for a lot of valid reasons, I will say too, like based on some misinformation and on social media, as well as like rewards not being used in the most effective way for kids with ADHD. Like behavior charts at school are always not always effective, you know. And there's something called the daily report card for kids with ADHD that is a private way to like do rewards that I think is super helpful. But I totally support rewards for kids with ADHD, and actually like positive reinforcement techniques have been found to be the most effective strategy for improving kids with ADHD, their challenges that they're having with like task initiation or getting through tasks, like whatever is difficult for them, positive reinforcement has been found to be the best strategy. So if you're a parent like of a child with ADHD and you feel bad for rewarding your kids, you should not feel bad. It is okay and it's recommended. So definitely continue doing that.
Yeah, because it's not, no one likes to do fractions. I mean, maybe none of my friends do. I don't. So it's like,
I can't.
so it's like, you know, and I do, and I reward myself in other ways too. And it doesn't have to be, you know, food or anything. It could be activities. Like if I'm done with something, or if I unload and load the dishwasher, then I'm going to go do this. But I also like, there are tasks that I kind of like try to find joy in. And so it's like, okay, if I have like three or four things I need to do, what is the one I enjoy doing the most? It might not mean I love doing it, but it might mean like, okay, if I get this done, then I can like fold laundry or pair the socks. Like that is easier for me. Do you feel like it's better for people to have that at the end, or should, do you get the, how do you do that? Do you do like what you want to get done first, or do you start with something maybe is easier for you, and then you, it gives you that motivation to like go on to the hard stuff? How would you recommend going through that?
This is something that I feel like is also like pretty individualized. I personally like to start with something very simple, because like, for example, like on my to-do list, I might have to return an email, which yes, I add that to my to-do list because it is very annoying to me. Return an email, to make a call, and then to write a paper. I am not starting with writing a paper because I know that that is like going to take the longest time and I will put it off. There's actually a skill for adults with ADHD called the Ohio skill, the only handle it once. So the way that you're supposed to do like all these small little tasks to build motivation is like when you get your mail in, basically, or for any task that takes under 5 minutes, you're supposed to do it right then instead of putting it off, because the mental load is worse and you're often going to delay it. And so I will do that with like calls and emails. And so because of that, I like to start with those first, get them off my to-do list, and I find I'm much more motivated. But I will say that's pretty individualized for kids and adults with ADHD. Some I've had where they like to start with the funnest homework that they have. Others, they're like, well, this will only take 5 minutes, so let me do that. So finding what works for them is like the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. And we struggle with prioritizing. So it doesn't, it's not like that's easy either. Is then we're like, and then you get the whole like ADHD paralysis thrown in there too. It's like, you know, we don't like to make things easy, but. Yeah.
It's so funny, like prioritizing, like some of these skills, they sound so simple as I say them or as I give tips about them, but like prioritizing, I made a TikTok video about this the other day. Like it's so important and I often don't do it. Like I will just have a to-do list of 10 things and I just look at it and I don't take the time to be like, what needs to be done first? Or like even like what has to get done today? Like, and then so I'll just have this list and like never want to start anything because like 10 things, like obviously I'm not getting through that today. So like some of these skills, they do sound really simple, but like you might find like, okay, I'm not actually using this and I should, or there's a way I can change it for my ADHD brain to make it more effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Accommodating yourself and in that way. And I think I love the only handle it once. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the, you know, don't put it down, put it away saying that they have in the ADHD community. And I wish I could credit who says that, but it's great. I love that. And I'm a cook. I'm not like a cook, but I love to cook. And it's like one of those things I love to do. And I'm very like active in the kitchen. And I always like to make stuff from scratch, because like I said, I like to make things harder for myself. And so I tend to make a big mess in the kitchen. And so I spend all night, you know, an hour of, you know, cooking, and I get done and I'm looking at the counter and there's, you know, all the like seasoning jars and like the scraps of food and the cutting board and all that stuff is out. And I'm like, it's so daunting and it's so overwhelming, because one, like I'm just got done cooking and I'm kind of just want to like eat and rest. And so what I've been trying to do is to do the whole like, okay, when I'm using this seasoning, I know I'm done with it, I'm going to put it away. And I have been trying to implement that in my life. And, you know, I do have a hard time with consistency, but
it is
helpful. But like that thing you said with the mail is, that's another thing is like, I there is this like weird, like pressure I have that like when somebody asks me a question, or if I have something to do, I feel like this urgency, like I need to do it or I'll forget. And that like kind of brings on like this anxiety of like, I need to do it right now. And like, there's this like strange sense of urgency, but I wonder if I could probably use that to my advantage in some ways. Cause I output stuff off and I procrastinate. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at that list, and that list that just said maybe three or four things, those three or four things seem so much harder. Even if it is, like, I struggle with sending emails too. And so it takes a lot of effort to do that and to initiate that task and complete it completely. Cause that was one thing I've always like really struggled with, is I might do my homework and get started, but I'm not a finisher. I'm the idea person. I like to be, you know, like we bought a fixer upper, and this is a great example. And, you know, we bought a house and we got so excited and we were motivated. We bought all this stuff and started working on it. And it's like, we don't have trim on any of our windows and doors, cause we're just like, we're so done. We're just like so burnt out. And I feel like that's what I do with a lot of things, is I get excited, I get worked up, I buy all the supplies and I come up with all the ideas. I'm really good at that. But when it comes to like finishing anything. It's yes. so hard. It's like, why is that one last leg like so hard for me to do? And I'm sure a lot of parents struggle with that too, is like, my parents always were like, we could just not get her, like we could get her to finish her homework if we really tried, but then like she'd forget to turn it in. I was like, I always struggled with finishing. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you can do to help encourage parents to kind of help those kids through that last leg of the race, grab that baton and kind of pull them over the finish line, you know?
So some of it is related to like the task shifting. So like I talked about task initiation, but task shifting is like, people with ADHD struggle with shifting from task to task, but they do it a lot. And like, so you, how you were saying, like with emails, like they will give you this, like, I need to do this right now. I need to do this right now. And like, I might forget about it. And then later it seems like a big chore. That's because you have trouble with task shifting. And like for kids with ADHD, it's like, they might start their homework, get distracted by something else and like want to do that other thing and have trouble with that in the moment. And so like mindfulness around what you were doing in the moment is super important, and not trying to like really stay in the present moment. For parents, I will say like one of the biggest strategies for getting kids to the finish line is starting off with more monitoring of them than you would expect, because again, they're delayed like with their executive functioning. So like for a kid who is struggling with turning in the homework, what I would do is like have a system in place where it's like, maybe the parent is going to have at first every day, the child is going to show them the parent when they did complete the homework and also get a message from the teacher that they did complete it. Then you're going to start reducing how often you're doing it. Maybe it'll go to like every other day, for example, so that the child can build some more independence. Then you'll shift it to once a week, as long as they're still turning things in, so that you can like increase that monitoring. Also build in rewards with that too. So like if they do turn it in, then they get a reward after school, like they get a trip to the park or something like that. So monitor a little bit more than you think you should just initially, and then fade it away to build that independence.
Yeah, I love that, because it can seem so daunting to like be like, I can't keep an eye on my child. I can't keep messaging or calling their teachers or doing all this stuff, or like being right there with my kid to make sure. And it's like, well, you won't always have to. You just really have to start. And then you can kind of, just like everything, you kind of lean off as that child becomes more independent. So it doesn't seem as like daunting of this thing where you're, I remember both my parents sitting at the dining room table with me trying to get me to do my homework, and like, you're in class, how do you not know how to do this? And it's like, I think, and I obviously got more independent because I don't like being micromanaged. I hate it. So I think that was a really good motivation for me, because I'm like, stop watching me do what I need to do, or, you know, whatever. And so it is kind of funny, because I don't know if that's a common, that might just be a KDHD thing, that I hate being micromanaged, but I think.
No, I don't think so, because like a lot of like, so I work with a lot of teenagers in therapy more, so a lot of teenagers with ADHD too, and like their parents. And so like, I will do a lot of work with them together. And usually like you guys, like the teen and the parent has like the same concern, where it's like, the parent doesn't want to micromanage and the teen doesn't want the reminders to like, or the nagging to like, do your homework. So like this type of system where the parent is initially monitoring, but it's very well thought out with how the parent is going to monitor and the teen is going to show you like, I did do this. It's going to like build that independence, so you guys can both reach that. Like that, I would say, is very common to have happen, like what you were saying.
I could go on for how much, you know, school really brought out my insecurities, or where I struggled with in school. And, you know, classrooms are so full now, it is hard for parents and I think also teachers to be like on top of it all the time. And it is hard. And so it's nice to know that like, it might just be temporary. It's just something that you have to just give them those supports to start off with and really just like monitor them in that way. But then eventually, you know, they'll wean off of it. And I think like, it's almost like training wheels in a way, you know, you'll eventually be able to take them off and they'll be fine on their own. And like, we do figure it out. You know, it's like people with ADHD want to be confident and want to be able to be independent and do things on their own just as much as everybody else. And so I think, you know, we can often be our worst enemies, because not only, like you said, are other people externally are calling us lazy and names, it's like we feel lazy and we don't know why we feel like that. We don't know why we feel like we can't initiate tasks or get things done or stay consistent or you know, not get distracted. All those things are, we're hearing that from the outside too. And then we're also on the inside going, well, why am I doing this? And I think, like you said, parents need to, the more parents learn about ADHD, the more validated they're going to feel. And then also more validated their children are going to feel when their parent goes up to them, instead of being like, why are you so lazy? And going like, it seems like you're really struggling initiating this task. Like, how can I support you in this way? And so that would, that language and that like approach, I think one, it opens up communication a lot better. And, but two, it also makes like both people feel validated and heard. And I think that's a really important way. It's just changing the way you look at it and using what you learn to help validate them. I think would be, is always really helpful. And we all want to be validated.
I mean, adults want to be validated and accepted too, is what I'll say. Like kids, they want a parent who accepts them. So like, you don't need to necessarily like accept like some of the things that they're doing, like the behaviors, but accepting that they do have ADHD and this is, you know, part of who they are can go a long way with validating them, I think. And that is huge for parents to know and for them to be able to support their kids.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to throw in or add before I let you plug some stuff?
You know, well, one thing I would say is just that like ADHD, it is a lifelong thing that, you know, parents are going to learn to like deal with in different ways. And that doesn't mean that like it's always going to be like super challenging. Like there's so many great things about ADHD. It just kind of like appears in different ways throughout kids and adults' lifespan. And so, you know, it's normal to have questions as kids age. And again, that does not make you a bad parent. If you're a parent of a child with ADHD, you are just learning more and more about your child and finding the support that they need. So, yeah.
Awesome. I love that. I think that's such a great message, is that, you know, we are all doing our best. And if you are listening to this podcast, you're doing the research, you're trying to help support your kid. That's really all you can do. And I think that's a lot of parents need to hear that. So I appreciate you coming on here and telling us. Is there, would you like to plug your free guide and your websites and all of your apps and stuff?
Yeah, of course. So I would also say I love you. So thank you for letting me come on here. I love all your social media. And like, I do social media. I'm new to TikTok, but I'm on Instagram too at the.parenttherapist. There's another dot in there, but I know you'll link it for me. I also have a website where you can find my free guide for parents, iparentadhd.com. Pretty easy to remember. I also have like a group program for parents of kids with ADHD, as well as a monthly membership. So happy to find some support for you guys and post a lot of tips and things like that. And just finding support for parents that they might not have been given when their child was diagnosed. So hope you guys follow me and that I can provide some of that support too.
Yes. Follow you for sure. And I love your social media as well. And I feel like it's been really good for me to learn stuff too. And, you know, we are always learning and there's always more information coming out. And it seems like, you know, I love Instagram for that reason, is because there are people out there that need the support, but might not have the resources for it. And I love that about Instagram, is that it is so inclusive. So parents out there who have children with ADHD who might not be able to get a therapist or get like the support they need, they're able to watch a video and learn a little bit about ADHD. And then also like in the comment section, I mean, it's insane. I'm sure you see it every day. It's so many times people write a comment and then I'll see these cute little conversations going like, oh yeah, try this. Or I did this. Or let me, you know, I totally had that too. And I did this and, you know, hang in there and all this, like, that community is so priceless in a way, and it's so wonderful. And so I love when I see creators with ADHD and just creators in general sharing their resources and creating such a like a wonderful inclusive environment for not only people with ADHD, but parents who have children with ADHD. And I think, you know, those aren't always one and the same. And so I love that we can kind of spread a wide net and we're just educating people and helping them through this wild journey, you know? Yes. And so I love what you're doing. I appreciate you for coming on and talking to me about it. And I've already learned so much and I can't wait to learn more. And if you're a parent on here and you're a parent and you're listening to this, check out her free guide, because it's amazing. I'm not a parent or anything, you know, but I did read it and I looked into it and I was like, this is great. You know, like you break it down so easily and it's so easy to follow. And so, and I love that you introduced ADHD and you kind of talked about it, because that's less places they have to go. You know, they can just go to your guide. They can check in with that, follow the steps, and, you know, I just love it. And I think it's great. And I appreciate your hard work on it. And, you know, the education and the information that you're putting out there is priceless. And I really appreciate what you're doing. And thank you again for coming on here. And I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. If you'd like to be a part of the KDHD community, check out my Patreon, where you can connect with fellow ADHDers, get some goodies, and help support this podcast. Thanks for coming on this journey with me today, and I'll see you next time. The KDHD podcast is written, produced, and edited by me. The wonderful music you are hearing was created by my dear friend Sylvie. And for resources on this episode, check out the show notes and my website. Bye!